Well, hey there, venturers. Welcome back to another episode of Venture Maidens, the Favor Campaign. I've got an important announcement for you before we dive into today's show, but first off, I want to thank Emily Mayo for composing our awesome Favor theme song, thank Tabletop Audio for providing additional music, and thank the wonderful folks who support us by leaving ratings and reviews and supporting us via monthly donations to our Patreon. So, on the announcement docket, we've got some unfortunate news. In light of the ongoing OGL situation with Wizards of the Coast, we have decided to not move forward with our streamed playthrough of the Dragonlance campaign. While we are bummed we won't get to manifest our plans for that campaign, we have decided it is the ethical move for ourselves and our community not to follow through with a streamed playthrough of a Wizards product at this time. If you are curious to learn more about the issues we're referring to, we encourage you to check out the many articles available online that break down the nuances of the situation. We will continue to keep you all posted on any new licensing developments that may affect the future of Venture Maidens as they come up. But don't worry, we are here to stay, no matter what happens with the future of D&D. For those of you concerned about what the OGL announcements mean for the Venture Maidens campaign guide, don't worry. Since the book is already written and published in digital format, any deauthorization of the original OGL should not affect the VMCG in any way. As per the latest Kickstarter updates, the books are still on schedule to hit the 2C Gaming US warehouse in March, where they will be packed and shipped out to backers. Alright, so that covers the basics, so I'll hit you with that recap of what happened last time, then we'll start the show. Last time, on Venture Maidens. After a few weeks of downtime to rest and cool off, our heroes came back together to take on a new bounty hunting job. A cryptic note about a wedding between an Eldrin lady named Reyna Olyana and Tony's cousin Enzo Silvertail sent the crew hurrying to Lily Hall, a famous noble estate in the Mortal Realm. Upon arriving, they met a retired constable named Sten, who explained that a series of strange supernatural events had plagued the days leading up to the wedding. The family had finally accepted his request to hire Fey bounty hunters to settle the troubles before the situation got any worse. Our maidens took the job, got settled in, and met Sten's other hire, a half-Eldrin, half-elf scholar named Cassie. Finally, as the evening drew to a close, Tony was able to have a sweet reunion with her father, who had rushed from his business ventures in the capital to attend his nephew's sudden wedding. And that's what happened. So now, here's the show.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. We now face a curious case, riddled with details out of place. Someone here has something to hide, but who to blame, we must decide. Follow the clues as we head into Favor, episode 29, Knives Out.
Hey everybody, welcome back! It's another episode of Venture Maidens! Episode 29. We are so happy to have you all here. It's the second episode of summer. Second day of summer, you know, you're out of school, you're ready to officially, like, stop vegging, check out a park, smell the air, go to the beach. Yes, yes, you're ready. You are getting into summer vacation, and we are here for you. We are the sun balm for your soul. Welcome, everybody. We're Venture Maidens. We're in D&D Actual Play 5th Edition pod stream that converts to a podcast. We play in a homebrew setting called The Plains, detailed in the Venture Maidens campaign guide. This is a very adult-themed stream, so you can expect standard things like graphic fantasy violence, swearing. We keep a general body horror content warning up. But yeah, if you're a kid, get out of here. This is for adults and cool teens only. But with that, let's get into it. Hey everybody, my name is Celeste Konowich, and tonight I will be your Dungeon Master.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I'm playing Luveri Sath, your single and apprehensively mingling drow rogue.
Hello, I'm Nassim Etemad, and I'm playing your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail. Ooh, is that in disguise? Everyone, oh. Nassim, just put on glasses.
Who is she?
For podcast listeners. Who is this?
Ooh, Nassim is our Gal Gadot with the Wonder Woman look.
Detective, Detective Tony.
Ooh, Detective Tony. Yes. Yeah, we kind of mentioned it, but yeah, there's some mystery vibes going on here. So that's where we're jumping in. So you all had arrived. Also, by the way, this grand like party, you know, this wedding that's happening between a Silvertail and between, you know, one of the Olianas, which is like one of the big powerful noble families in the Eldrin Empire. This is all happening against the backdrop of this holiday, Oxia, which is one of the 8 major Eldrin holidays, and it is the one that celebrates the beginning of summer. So while everybody is preparing for a wedding, there's also 3 days until this huge festival where basically the family opens up the doors of their summer home to all kinds of people from Faelyn, the capital, which is, you know, just a couple miles away from this summer home here. So there's going to be a lot of people here in about 3 days' time on top of this wedding that is happening. So against all that backdrop, there's going to be a ton of people here. And if there really is a fae causing trouble and plague in the family, it could be really bad news. So that's why Sten has brought you all in, as well as Cassie, who apparently he's worked with before in the past, this fae expert, to try and get some answers and solve this whole thing before a lot of people potentially get hurt. So here we are, picking up just in the last few moments of last time. So we had left Aoife, and Cassie had kind of been having a conversation while Lou skulked off to fight/talk with the kitchen staff in the cool outdoor culinary station that is being set up. That is happening, and Tony has basically just connected with her dad, who is obviously super surprised to see you here, and kind of given the quick rundown of what's happening. So diving right back, picking up into that action, Tony, it's not long before, you know, you settle things with your dad, you have your greetings. You're still in the big, like, green tent that has been set aside for the Silvertail family, you know, as the family of the groom. Your family is given a tent of honor, close to, you know, the proceedings, the big happening. So your tent is even nicer than like the glamping RV setup that we have, you know, for the rest of your party here. It is, yeah, I mean, it's like a mansion in a tent. It's way better than any house you've ever lived in, for sure. You're like, is this velvet? Is this a velvet couch in my tent? Sure is. Like that kind of level of extravagance. So after a few exchanges have gone back and forth between you and your dad, finally, the other two Silvertails that are expected show up. So you see, following into the tent flaps, another super tall figure, just like your dad, like kind of stoops to get in here. And it is Geo, your little brother, is not so little anymore. He has shot up like a beanpole. He is so tall, but has none of like the bulk of your dad. So he's, you know, like 6.5, even a couple inches over you, but he's just got like no muscle mass quite on his body. He's just like so tall. And as he goes in, you can see him dragging like a big trunk behind him. He looks in and then sees you and he's like, Tony? Oh my God, wait, what? What? And he like kind of drops it and his voice squeaks a little bit as he like runs over. He's like, are you, wait, is this real?
Yes, you squeaky little string bean, get over here.
Oh my God, what? This is, what? Dad, is this like a surprise? He's like hugging you. He's like, I don't, what are you doing here?
Well, Dad will fill you in on all this stuff, but basically, I'm here on some business, but we can't let people know we're related, okay? I'm on the job, you see.
What? This is like, what? And like behind him, you see your uncle, who you've only seen a couple times in your life, mostly at like business occasions when, you know, he was meeting with your dad, like in Faelyn primarily. So Lori is a very serious looking man, whereas your dad has, you know, a bunch of like smile lines and, you know, he's clearly, he's got the gray in his hair. He's been around. The uncle is just, there's something, I don't know, quiet, solitude about him. As he comes in, he's got like a very neat set of, you know, tunic on. And as he steps into the space, he kind of observes and nods at you all. Fotonia, it's good to see you. I didn't expect you here.
Hi, Lori. It's really good to see you too. How are you doing with all of this?
It was a bit of a surprise, but I guess it's good to hear that Enzo is happy, or at least I assume from his letters, not that he told me anything about all of this.
Really?
I had no idea he was still in contact with the Olianos after everything that happened, so this is all kind of a surprise to me.
Have you and Enzo been in contact at all over the last year?
Letters. He's been giving me updates. He's been at university in Phelan, so we haven't stayed much in touch. I mean, kind of drifted apart since his mother died. But at least I got an invitation.
Have you guys talked since? Or did you guys just get here?
No, we've just arrived. I haven't been up to the main house yet.
Have you ever met the bride?
Yes, I'm familiar with the Olianos. I was the one who arranged his first marriage. So friends of the family, the Olianos. I knew Mina much better, but I had seen Reyna in passing.
I heard about what happened between Enzo and Mina, and I'm so sorry that that happened to him and her.
Yes, he was pretty messed up about it for a while, which is also one of the reasons this is all such a surprise.
Can I ask how she died?
I think she drowned. The family hasn't been too forthcoming about it, but they're all pretty shaken up as well. Maybe that's why this all got approved. If everybody's still feeling that loss, I suppose a wedding is a good way to celebrate life.
Well, I guess since we're all here together, I'll let you know what I'm doing here. And she'll go on to...
And he listens and will nod. And of course, I will be discreet. And if there's anything I can do to help.
Thank you, Lori. And tell me, please, I mean, I'm here to help our family above anything. And I want to make sure Enzo's okay and safe and doing this because it's what he wants. So, if you hear from him or the family or you see anything weird, I'll be around, okay? I'm in tent number whatever it was, 30-something, 32?
Yeah, 32. Yeah, one of those.
Tent number 32. I'm not far, so.
I appreciate that. I'm actually headed up to the house this evening for dinner. I have a place in inside as the, I don't know, they insisted, the father of the groom. So I'll be on my way over there shortly if you would like to rendezvous and go with me. We can perhaps explain this to Enzo together and get a read on whatever is happening.
Yes, I definitely want to talk to Enzo. I want to check on him. I have some friends here with me who are here to help as well. They're very experienced and capable, and I'm sure we'll figure out what's happening.
Good. Thank you. Fotonia, or do you... I heard them say Tony. Is that what you go by now?
I mean, yeah, if that's... If you're okay with that, it's okay, you know? She doesn't know how to... be that casual with...
Yeah, he doesn't either. He's so serious that you're just like, is that okay? He's like, I don't know, is it okay? And he's like, yes, Tony. Good. Well, then I'm going to head up to the house unless there's anything else you need. And your dad, Luca, is like, nope, we're good. Go get settled. And he kind of walks up and, like, you know, claps his brother's shoulder and gives him sort of a reassuring, you know, wiggle. And that way, the grim-faced brother nods and then walks out. And your dad goes, as you can see, it's been a difficult few days. Your uncle's never been a cheerful guy, but this really seems to have him thrown for a loop.
I'm still amazed that in the first place, he arranged a marriage between this family. I mean, who knows?
I mean, your uncle and his people have always been a lot more keyed in to... They spend a lot more time in Phelan than the Plains these days. He's good with money, I can say that. And, I mean, the Olianos have always been kind to us. I don't know. I've never been one for politics, but your uncle has a better mind for that sort of thing. But look at this, my two kids. And he, like, holds out his hand, and he's like, come here! And then he, like, kind of, like, gets you again and, like, drags over, and Gio's like, ah! Like, squirming. Promise me, if you ever get married, I'm gonna know way ahead of time, okay? He kind of puts a hand on both of your heads.
Yes. Yes, Papa. You'll know.
Okay. I don't care who it's to, I just want to know ahead of time. So I can be involved and do silly things.
You have to know so you can talk me out of it, first of all.
Okay. All right. Good girl. And you, I'm not worried about you. Not yet. But you'll be handsome soon. And he, like, kind of, like, playfully slaps your brother's face. And he's like, Dad! Dad! And, like, wiggles again out of the way. Fixes his hair. All right. Well, do you have anything to do right now? Or can I meet these friends of yours? Or apparently your uncle is off doing whatever he does. But I did see a few businesses and such are starting to get set up.
I would love for you to meet them. Let me go touch base with them and see how we can do this. And
Of course, you know. I know, meeting the friends. I'm just your dad.
Well, how about for now, you come by our tent later in like a couple hours, and I'm sure they'll be psyched to meet you.
Sure. Yeah, 32, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, I might take a nap. Gio, if you want to pack everything, Gio's like, over in the corner doing teenage shit. He's like, ruffles your hair again one more time, and you're allowed to exit the family tent.
Yay. I ruffled Gio's hair one more time just to pass it down the line.
He's like, why does everyone in our family do that? Smooths it, tries to get the cowlick, like, down. It's just never gonna happen. Poor kid. Just such that awkward stage of teenagehood. All right, move along. And then who do we want to jump to? Because Lou, Aoife, we had some different stuff. Do you all want to rendezvous and kind of share information? It's sort of up to you how we want to guide this investigation. Tony has an offer to go and meet Enzo later this evening, but otherwise that's like your only real appointment.
Cassie had mentioned the opening of the meadery soon, so of course that caught Aoife's attention, and she wants to go where the drinks will be flowing because, yeah, that makes for loose lips.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. You could all meet at the meadery if you want. It seems like there's only a couple places that are going to be open tonight that are mostly like catering to the staff and stuff, the people who are here. Again, very much like a Ren Faire where it's like your vendors get in a couple of days beforehand and, you know, the people building up the fair, and then it's those days and then the performers arrive and then finally, you know, the crowd. So it seems to be, yeah, this meadery and like a barbecue pit place that's catering right now.
Yeah, especially getting it in some time with the staff, who the staff always see things that they shouldn't be saying, so.
Cool. Do we all want a rendezvous at the meadery?
Yeah, I think that Lou spends some time in the kitchen doing the chef thing where you just start feeding each other. Yeah, eventually, like, they come to a conclusion with, like, this, like, bomb-ass sandwich with, like, sourdough bread with the toasted sesame crust, roast beef with, like, a fresh chimichurri and a garlic aioli. And she, like, makes sure to, like, fold it into, like, this paper because it's a fucking messy sandwich. And she's like, this girl likes books, so she can't have messy fingers, so put this in there. And okay, I'm gonna go grab a drink to pair with this, so I will go over to the meadery.
Ooh, you made your girl sandwich. Cute. A bougie sandwich
with forethought too.
I'm gonna win this lady's heart with this sandwich. That's wrapped so nice.
She's gonna try in a swan like foil. No, I'm kidding.
Love me a good, well-wrapped treat, yeah. So you head on off to the meadery, and you will see Aoife drifting around there. And Tony, do you want to head there, or do you have another plan?
No, I was going to head back to the tent where I thought we were going to meet up, but I'll go to the meadery.
Yeah, it looks like everybody's gone. Yeah, and some people in the streets are like, we're all like making their way over there. It's kind of like things are winding down for the day now, as it's getting more into full night, because you got here around 4:35. work is starting to drift down, and there's a very clear pattern of, like, anyone who is here is probably going there at this point.
Then she will follow the crowd.
Yeah, so you all see each other from across the way. Cassie doesn't seem to be here yet. You're not sure where she went off to.
Yeah, I immediately hunt down you guys, whoever I see first. I jump over to you and I squeeze you. Who's there?
Everyone, except Rook and Cassie. So everyone here and the DM is psychically floating over your table.
Particularly because we know that Aoife was waiting for Tony to get back, but didn't want to rush Tony's time with her family and everything while they had a chance to talk not under the, you know, the gaze of everyone. So I think Aoife would definitely be on the lookout to be like, all right, where's Tony? I'm going to flag her down as soon as I see her.
Yeah. You're like, I got it. You got, like, this sweet. You talked to a bunch of people and they're giving you the sweetest table. It's, like, the perfect distance, like, by the bar, but not in, like, the walkway, you know?
Every time people come by being like, can I get that chair?
She's like, absolutely not.
I need all of these.
And you've made friends with everyone around you, so they're like, no, you can't sit there. Is there a problem here? This really big dude, like, just gets in front of anyone who bothers you.
Tony can clock. She hears, like, a loud Irish person's going, like, no, you can't sit here. And she's like, oh, there she is.
Sweet, yes. So you can all find each other in that sweet, sweet corner booth.
Plop down. Guys. My dad, my brother, and my uncle are here. It was so nice to see them. And apparently they're just as fucking shocked about what's happening as I am. So what I've heard so far is that later tonight, my uncle is going to go have dinner. He was invited to go.
It's like a family dinner, like the close family dinner, right? So it's going to be parents of, you know, the bride and groom.
Yeah, the immediate family is having a private dinner. Right. And so he's invited me to come along. I hopefully will gain some stuff. I'll see if you guys can join me in some capacity, in terms of the investigation at least. But, I mean, does the family even know that this is happening? I know he wanted discretion, but does the family know that we're having an investigation?
So they would know that the Olianas would know because it was their friend, basically. So the PI, you know, the retired PI constable, he is Sten. He is the family friend. So he's talked to the Olianas and basically asked if he could bring in people to investigate. So they're probably aware of who you are, but they also don't want it so much in their face. And they're like trying to keep up pretenses and pretend there's nothing wrong. But yes, so they will be aware of you. And also if you want to interview them, that will all absolutely be arranged, but it's sort of we're keeping this very British. The Eldrin are like, if you need to talk to me, we will arrange like a private thing and do the thing, but like, we don't want you interfering with the event. We don't want anyone else to know that you're involved. We want this all to go away. Thank you.
Got it. Then I think we might have a good chance of getting you guys in there with me in a much smaller manner. Just like have you guys say that we're trying to explore the property and see if we can detect like fae presence, something like that. But yeah, we have an opportunity to get close to the family tonight. I learned that apparently this isn't Enzo's first engagement. He was engaged to the sister, Reyna's sister, Mina, and she drowned a year ago. And I'm sorry, a prominent family not knowing how to swim.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's an indoor pool.
Also, they have a fucking lake that they built on their property.
Yeah, I mean, they have...
How unusual.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I guess that's it. I might be a little bit jumpy, given, you know, I want to keep my name separate from this, but I can't deny that it's making me a little bit more like nervous and anxious to get things started and going. So there may be times where I need you guys to hold me back in case certain things escalate, but that's it. That's the update I have for you.
Well, Cassie seems perfectly nice, doesn't she, Lou?
She seems like she's really excited to work with us And she should be around here. She's got, you'll see her, she's got like the brightest blue eyes and just like this ponytail that just goes on for days. Like beautiful hair. So, but yeah, I think she's really going to be an asset to us. And this, it's, we're lucky to have her.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure she'll just love you. I mean, look at you. So, like, you've got muscles for days. So, like, anyone who first meets you is going to be like, hey. So.
Well, I'm excited to meet her.
Not like that. I mean, not me. Like, we're I'm. I'm gonna shut the fuck up.
Hey, Lou.
She just zips her lips.
Lou.
What?
You gotta crash?
I don't even know her. Don't be ridiculous. I did get her the sandwich, though, and it is getting cold. Do you guys see her?
Oh, you gave her a sandwich.
I'm going to. Why are you saying it like that? People need to eat. That's just everyone. That's an everyone thing.
Ooh, a sandwich.
Everyone knows that food's your love language. Calm down.
I mean,
everyone knows. Would you say that everybody knows that?
Eva just, like, raises her eyebrow, like, tilts her chin down and looks at you like, come on, really?
Should I throw the sandwich away? Is that too obvious? No, because I did tell her and I don't want her to think that I don't follow through with what I say that I'm going to do.
And just in the middle of all of this, you hear like a, hey, guys, like, from the middle of the crowd here. And you see Tony, just as described, this very tall woman with a ponytail for days, you know, cascading red hair down her back. She kind of waves, stands up and waves, and she's like, do you want anything from the bar?
Yes. Yes.
I know the bartender. Yeah, just like, she makes like money sign. Yeah. She's like, okay, just, and she goes like, shots? Or she goes like, big cup.
Pitchers. Pitchers.
She's like, got it. Like from across the crowd. And she makes eyes with you, Tony. She's like, I'll meet you in a sec. Y'all just... Thumbs up. Walks over to the bar and is back in, like, record time, pushes past all these people. Like, they just part and let her in. And she must know somebody. Comes back over with, like, two, like, big-ass pitchers and lays them down. She's like, hey, you must be Tony. I'm Cassie.
Hello, Cassie. How are you? So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Just as described, Aoife is a wordsmith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Aoife's very friendly, great at the introductions. I hear good things about you, too. I'm excited to work with you. Tell me, you like sandwiches?
Yeah, I love them. Food is kind of my love language, you know? And she, like, goes over and, like, sits down right by you, Lou, because I'm just going to assume that that's how that works, and scoots in, and, like, her thigh, like, touches your thigh, and she's like, oh, man, is that a sandwich? She sits, like, right in front of you. That smells amazing.
Yeah, I talked to the chefs. It was, you know, I tried it, and it was just okay, so, like, we worked together, and we tweaked it, and I think that the sauce really brings out the flavors, but here, I wrapped it up for you so your hands didn't get messy.
Oh, this is for me?
Well, yeah.
You made me a...
I mean, I didn't... I helped make you one. So.
Nice. Thank you. I'm so hungry. That's, like, so great. I really appreciate that. Wow, Not only are you all super nice, we're also sitting at the most attractive table at this entire place.
Cheers to that.
It is an absolute pleasure to be working with you all. Yeah. Yeah, she clinks a glass, like.
Lou shoots back her entire glass immediately.
Wow, and she can drink. Yeah, she does little golf clap hands.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's great to cut the grease of sandwiches. So, yeah, what's our plan?
She's like 6 inches away from you, looking at you. Yeah.
She's just like every time she like keeps like going to turn to like be polite to like address everybody at once as she's talking, and every time she like jumps.
Your face is so close to my face. Yeah, I know.
So yeah, Tony met with some people and found out a little bit more about everything. So I guess we're gonna have a way to get in and do some sleuthing. But you obviously you can stay, because I know that you have your whole setup and everything. So we can just come back if we find anything that might.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get in the way. You all are the, you know, the pros.
You wouldn't be in the way.
Oh, I mean, if you.
But I mean,
if it's helpful for me to.
Whatever you prefer is what I'm saying. So.
Okay, and she kind of gives you like a look and then kind of turns to you, Tony, and she's like, I was sort of explaining to them earlier sort of the way I'm used to working is when I work with groups like yours, basically the more information I can get, the more helpful I am to all of you. So I'm here for you all as a resource. I'm kind of working for you, I guess. So if you need me to come with you, I'm more than happy to do that. Or yeah, just basically the more you can get me, any little detail might be important, because honestly, we're floating in a lot of generalities at this point. I was giving it a think while I was kind of walking over, and the sheer number of Fae that could potentially be behind weird weather phenomenons and, you know, that kind of couples into the mist, so that's not really helpful. And also the weird dreams, we need to know more about the dreams. Who is affected, you know, anything you can get me really helps my little nerdy brain kind of just, you know, be useful for you. So
we know that Groomsman has had dreams. We'll be talking to him later and see if we can learn anything more from him. But with something like a marriage, I mean, and with all of these, I guess, incidents that have been happening around the Empire, do you have any idea about all that? Because it seems like so much more activity has been happening.
Yeah, I have been really busy the last few weeks. It feels like every time I turn around, there's, you know, a weird mystery on my desk. Something is definitely going on. There's just not a lot of information coming in about what it is. And usually, you know, I know some people, you know, around in the Eldrin Empire. You know, I work with people like Sten a lot, so usually if a, you know, a cop or PI isn't over their head, they might bring me on as a consultant, but it's been pretty much silent on that end. I think Sten is only calling me because he's retired. He's not really involved in the government anymore, so it's...
Do you ever work with the Krillins?
The Krillins? No, that's a whole... It's a whole club to get into, so No, I prefer to work independently, let's say. I know they have a lot of juicy stuff in there. God, if they would just let everyone get a hold of it, but that's a whole other can of worms.
Well, I'm glad to be working with you as well. And, I don't know, just like for fun. let's talk about like, what do we think the sexiest dessert is?
Oh my god.
Ooh. Ooh, I love this question. Okay. I want to say cannoli? Is that two on the money? I don't know, she says and looks around.
Tony was not expecting that answer, and she's like, oh, wait a minute. okay.
Oh my lord.
That's a good yes. You know what? I gotta say, on the scale of, like, one to six, that's a sex. That's a, yeah. You got it. You nailed it.
Nailed it, she said.
Before she says anything else, she's gonna elbow Lou. Like, Lou, tell us your sexy dessert.
Where to begin? I guess that I would start, obviously it has to be liftable so you could feed each other. So something with a good base, like a tart. And then if you had like a fruit sauce in the center of it, so it's just, you know, a little bit messy so you can help each other out. But obviously you need dark chocolate because I think that's just like the sexiest ingredient. And then you do chocolate-covered strawberry on top, because that's just, like, two sexy desserts in one, so.
It's complicated, and would sound great to dig into.
I mean, I could make it for you sometime, like, if we have time after this.
You should!
I mean, yeah, anything like this, I mean, what am I going to say? No? You're amazing. Well, I'm sorry, you made this, right? What the hell? You guys, like...
She makes breakfast for us, like, every morning. She's just a fantastic chef. She never gives herself enough credit.
How do I get into this, like, adventuring club? Because I am on board.
Honestly, it has nothing to do with any of us. You have to make Rook like you. Good luck.
Oh yeah, Rook, where, I haven't seen her yet. Is she around, or? She's kind of a private person. I'm getting a read.
Yeah, she, she's, it, maybe, she's pretty short right now. So. Sorry, that's stupid. She'll be around, I'm sure. We're sharing the tent, so you'll see her. Sorry, if she's, she knows a lot about the Fae. So maybe you'll have a great time talking with her, though.
Yeah. I mean, I hope I know a lot. If nothing else, I'm sure she'll be great to talk to and, you know, listen to, so.
So, actually, I'm gonna get a refill if you don't mind. And she's just, like, gonna awkwardly, like, scoot past her in the booth, like, oh, sorry, oh. Oh, sorry.
Are you gonna do, like, the scoot, like, not wait for her to get out so your, like, butt is in her face? Like, that kind of?
Yeah, because she's making a break for her. And while Lou goes to go get a refill, she's looking out for any of the people who had those little earpieces in and going to be trying to bump into them to try to swipe it.
Yeah, you start walking away and, like, you know, seeing your marks through the crowd, and Cassie will kind of lean in and be like, is it just me, or is, like, Lou kind of running away from me a bunch? Coming on too strong.
Aoife lets out a long exhale, and she says, Lou's a little complicated, and she hasn't exactly fully recovered from her last relationship. They were gonna get married, and it didn't happen for tragic reasons. I'll leave it at that, but she's a slow burn, you know?
Did it? Is it, like, tragic reasons? Is it, like, weird divorce with kids thing? Or is it, like, what are we talking here? Tony, are you dying in your chair, like, this anymore?
Tony's like, oh, Aoife.
Too much, too much.
She asked. And Aoife will very slowly and gently sort of put her hand onto the table. And then look up to her with these, like, big, sad eyes, like, communicating the tragedy, the severity of it. She's a bit closed off, but if you take the time to get to know her, she opens up. We've only known each other for, hell, a few months, but we've been in through life or death situations, and it's brought us together. But it takes time.
Good to know, I guess, thanks for the warning? Honesty? Not really sure how to... You doing okay over there, Tony? She says it as you're squirming.
I'm really debating if saying anything would make things worse. Or really, I just want to lean over to Aoife and be like, you know, mystery's a good thing. I love how... I love how friendly you are. I love you, Aoife. But we don't always gotta...
Last relationship, 10 years ago, fiancé lost at sea, baggage.
Well, I'm guessing. She's obviously not going to spill the whole story, but, you know, if she's getting mixed signals from Lou, Aoife wants to shed some light on it. Be like, take it slow, you know, it's fine.
All right, well, does anyone need a refill? I'm going to need a refill, so I'll be back. And, Lou, why don't you go ahead and make me an investigation check as you're looking for a mark here?
18 plus 8, so 26.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm not sure how familiar you are with event coordinators, but it's a job where you work 7 days a week, 20 hours a day, and you fucking like restaurant folk. You work hard and you party hard. So there is a table of fucking outrageously drunk people who look nearly identical to each other, which is probably why it was hard to tell them apart. You can see a stack of clipboards have been like thrown on one side of the table here, and they all are just like going like, you can't even believe the conversation I had today. Like, somebody tried to deliver an ice sculpture to the sun garden. Like, for the love of fucking sakes, like, I'm not paid enough to deal with this level of bullshit. And there's like a yeah girl like from around the table. So there are a bunch of this table is ripe for that. They are deep in the like girl power anger. They're not all women either, but they're just, you know, they're dealing with this whole, it is a mess over there. So anyone from that table would be probably pretty easy. Those clipboards have been thrown so precariously.
Yeah, Lou is going to kind of like bend over the table to like be in the center of all of them and be like, you guys were so helpful today. They do not deserve you here. Let me please get you a picture.
Oh my God. Thank you. Like, you totally get it. No one appreciates how hard it is. You know, they're like, expect to show up. And everything's perfect. And they're just like, oh, wow, I did this. Like, no idea. No idea. You get it.
I feel you. I work in the food industry. I've seen you guys in the trenches. You are all gods.
Bless. Caterers, amazing. Like, you guys.
Well, the ones who get it right, right?
This, like, just beautiful person, like, puts up their hands, like, on either side of your face and is like, thank you. God. Yeah, I mean, no. I want to get you a drink.
Oh, my gosh. No, I insist. And as she's, like, being pulled in with her hands, like, she, like, taps the sides of her cheeks and, like, between her two fingers, like, goes and, like, takes the little earbud out.
Oh, yeah, you take that shit off. Like, yeah, no worries in your pocket. It's like, okay, well, you just let me know. We're going to be here all night, obviously. So if you just want anything, you just let us know. We drink half off.
Lucky. Maybe someday I'll work here. It would be a hoot to work with you guys. Let me go get that picture though for you. And like,
oh my God, do you have a card? No, I have a card here. And they're like looking around. Like, I don't usually do weddings, but
thank you so much. I will definitely follow up with you. I'll be right back. 2 seconds. Don't worry. And as she turns like in her other, between her other two fingers, she like grabs the papers off of one of the clipboard.
Yeah. And there's like a burst of laughter from the table. And there's someone who's like, oh my God, bitch. Oh my God. They totally forget you exist as you wander away.
Yeah, and she will go and she will still send a picture because like that was like 50% ruse, 50% like she knows.
Yeah. And there's like a woo, you hear it come from across the meadery.
And then she'll grab one more picture to go back to the table.
Cool. So you get back, you slide in, and, you know, Cassie is just coming back with a drink as well.
Feeling a little bit more confident after making that so smooth. She's just like, so what are we all talking about?
Oh, I was just getting another round. But, you know, actually, if you all are busy, sorry, I totally realized, just like invited myself over. But I can start bookmarking some stuff and, you know, putting some thoughts together if you all gotta, you know, do your hero thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll meet up with you later then if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, actually, Lou, do you mind if I just talk to you just for a second? Just like right over here.
Sure. And she's like goes and starts to leave the booth and she turns back and looks at them and she's like, what the fuck? And she's like, yeah, for sure. And we'll go with her.
Yeah, and she just leads, you know, like a few, like, steps away from the table just out of earshot, kind of leans, you know, against one of the posts that are forming like the wall of this place. I hope that's not like too forward, but I really like you and I'd like to get to know you better if you're okay with that, like in a romantic way, not a working way. I just figure if we start with that now, you know, it might be less awkward if we turn into coworkers. Then we like, oh man, we're working together. Are we dating? Like, if we just start, you know,
that would have been a logistical nightmare.
Right.
Yeah. Was it the sandwich?
I mean, well, it was before the sandwich. The sandwich helped. I'm going to tell you, yeah, it helped a lot. It was like 70% there. You know, the sandwich really clenched it. And probably the way you blushed about giving me the sandwich was probably the last like 10%.
I should let you know. It's obvious. I'm not good at the start of this kind of thing, but I'll please be patient.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yes, I've been told that I should get to know you and kind of take it slow. So do you want to meet later? Like, I don't know, whenever the night is done or whatever, we can like grab a drink by ourselves, maybe by the lake somewhere, and I could just get to know you a little better.
Yeah, I'd really like that.
Cool. All right. Lou.
See you later.
See you.
And she like clenches her fist to not do finger guns and just turns around and walks away.
She's cool. No pressure. No lean in. Nothing. She's playing it very cool.
Holy crap. Holy crap. Holy crap. Okay. Fuck. Okay. She's gonna like...
Aoife's got her hands perched, or her head perched in her hands with her elbows up on the table as Lou, like, wanders back over to the table.
Oh my god, what did you guys say to her? Because she totally asked me out on a date. Well, I mean, I don't know, it's a date, like, getting to know me better. It's like, you know, because maybe she does and she's like, oh, fuck no. But if she doesn't, then it's like a date, well, which I haven't done in... Has anything changed in the past, like, 20-ish years?
Prehistoric times? The last time I was dating, you both were, like, 6 years old, so...
Nah, don't put any kind of pressure on yourself. It's just like hanging out with any other friend, you know? You just happen to know that you're both into each other. Just focus on getting comfortable around each other.
Yeah, we've gotten to get to know you, and... You know, Lou, I like you a lot. You're smart. You're very conscientious. You think about things in a way that, like, my brain just, like, would never. And you're so incredibly kind and compassionate and thoughtful. And anyone who's worth a lick of sense will see those things and admire them.
Okay, shut up. And she wipes away a tear. I mean, thank you. That's really sweet of you to say. Okay, just be myself. She pours another drink, and then she's like, oh shit, we're working, and pushes it away.
Yeah, you're like, oh my god, we gotta be at dinner in like 20 minutes. Yeah.
I don't wanna, let's stop talking about this because I need to focus so that we don't do anything stupid. Mostly me, because a lot's happening. So instead of thinking about cannolis, did you think that cannoli was a strangely phallic answer?
I wasn't gonna say anything.
I wouldn't say cannoli is the perfect answer. I think it represents every kind of sexuality, personally.
Okay. Just checking. Okay. That was the last thing I'm gonna say.
Weirdly phallic? I mean, okay, Nassim and I are on the same page. But never mind.
I'm with you, Katie.
Thank you. 50-50 split.
Keep an eye out for the Twitter poll coming soon.
Yeah, the Twitter poll. Excuse me. If you had a friend who said this, guess what their sexuality might be? Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Goodness. So, what you have a dinner that you're going to go to. Since they know what our job is there, are you going to go, like, as a guest, or are we just going to be, like, lurking?
I'll say, like, for just ease of admin purposes. So, you probably won't be able to, like, attend and sit at the dinner, but there are going to be, like, drinks ahead of time and drinks after, right? It's like one of those meet the... parents thing. So if all of you wanted to go and talk to everyone, like post dinner drinks or before, like cocktails, that would be an ideal time, and you all would be welcome to do that. before the family actually met for their proper dinner.
I was going to say, I would say post-dinner cocktail hour, because you get that dinner discussion and then get to have little sides with everyone.
Also, that's when they're the most sloshed.
Yeah. Yeah, and things have either gone very well and everybody's feeling great about each other, or things have not gone so well and they're like eager
to tear each other apart. Oh, yeah. Win-win for us either way.
Yeah, so then in your planning, you would think they're probably having dinner-ish now, and your uncle would have communicated, like, this would be a good time to come in. So yeah, if you want to make your way up to the main house, they'd be more than happy to greet you all. And, you know, you can leave a note for your dad, too, Tony, like, oh, man, like, met someone, had to go, because he was going to swing by the tent later and stuff, so.
True. I guess it'd probably be around the same time. Yeah. I'll leave a note, say, come by tomorrow.
You can guess the evenings are probably going to be the most ideal time to gather information, because during the day, everyone's going to be pretty involved in, like, very intense event planning shit. So over the course of this investigation, yeah, night is going to definitely be the most active time. So during the day, you all can kind of do whatever you want.
Sweet.
All right. So yeah, you want to all head on over to the main house, the hall, Lily Hall.
Indeed.
The interior of the hall is exactly what you would expect from the extravagance of the outside. This is a summer home, so that means it is not a home that gets lived in most of the time. So it's all just, you know, opulent, the most beautiful furniture. The stuff you're looking around, you're like, is this a comfortable place to be? No, probably not. But boy, is it really impressive when you bring your friends over. It's like that kind of perfectly manicured magazine, wonderful interior decoration in every room of this place. And immediately as you go inside, the butlers greet you and they know who you are before you go in, and somebody, you know, directs you to a lounge off the main dining hall where several people are floating about. They have their own private waiter behind a bar, like in a library, for like five people who are, you know, engaged in different levels of conversation. And Tony, you very quickly find your uncle Lori, who looks just so out of place, kind of grim in a corner, sipping from a very small glass some kind of colorful beverage and just looking so out of place. And he says, Tony, it's good to see you. Are these your friends, I'm assuming?
Yes, my friends here, Lou and Aoife. This is
Lori Silvertail. And does a full, like, bow and then handshake, like, extremely formal.
Father of the groom.
Yes.
Many congratulations, then.
Thank you. It is a charming event. Have you seen Enzo yet?
No, but I'm sure we'll get some alone time with him tonight.
Yes, if you'd like to talk, he's off the main parlor. Apparently there's a second parlor, and one is for smoking, one is not, and I don't really know. I'm just staying close to the bar.
How was the dinner?
Enlightening, I suppose. Enzo does seem very happy, and Reyna's a charming girl. It will be interesting to have her in the family, I think for the best, probably. Parents are very generous and good friends of mine.
Will she and Enzo get a stead for themselves, or will they move in and stay with you, or do they have plans for what comes after?
Well, I'm not sure how familiar you are with our lifestyle, but I am the leader of my clan in particular, and they wish to come live with me. With us. So that will be interesting.
Was there any mention of the strangeness that's been taking place since the engagement?
Everyone was very polite about it, but I could tell Enzo at least was certainly disturbed by something. He's worse than I've ever seen him. He's always been a very active boy, and I don't know. Maybe it's the stress. All these people seem on edge, and you know how they are, Fotonia. They just don't... They never lay their cards on the table. Not all of them, anyway. I don't know how to be around these people.
So no indication of an opinion of this arrangement in any other way. Just politeness.
Well, when I arranged the marriage the first time with Mina, it was all a very good affair. And again, I've had very pleasant dealings with them in the past, and all that graciousness still seems to be extended. I don't know. Something feels wrong, but I suppose that's why you're here. But it's all pretty words, from what I can hear.
Well, we'll let you know what we discover.
I'll be here, he says, and kind of swishes the little, like, cocktail sword in his half-drunk, you know, melted ice drink.
Ooh, all right, let's go talk to some others.
You're suddenly remembering why your dad probably didn't spend a lot of time around your uncle. And so he's just so fucking serious, and your family is so not like that.
To clarify our general knowledge, did the daughter and did the bride and groom specifically request to have us as soon as possible, or did the pressure more come from the daughter or from the daughter's family?
You don't really know, and the uncle doesn't really seem to know. It seemed like the couple was pretty eager to get married on that, like, lucky holiday. And the parents seem fully on board with it. So you're not sure.
Can I ask also if we know whether or not Reyna or Mina is the older or younger sister?
Mina was the eldest daughter. So which would make sense. Arranged marriage, eldest daughter. And then it was just the two girls.
Is Enzo an only child as well?
Enzo is an only child. And his mom is dead. So it's just Enzo and the dad and Lori. Who apparently are a bit estranged since the mom's death, which you would know, Tony, happened, I mean, probably about a decade ago. But both of them have been kind of on their own since.
Yeah, I think the next best move is go find Enzo.
Yeah, and you can find Enzo. He's on the second lounge off the lounge. And the doors, there's like a pair of French doors, you know, that are open to like a small like patio. And Enzo is, you know, smoking a cigar with, you would see, an older Eldrin in very nice clothing with sort of like a powder lavender color hair as he's sitting there as well. They're just smoking on the balcony there. Enzo will see you all walk in, and you see his eyes, like, yeah, like, open with recognition. He goes, so sorry, Papa Wilhelm, if I could just, these are the friends I mentioned that my uncle's friends, so if I could just have the room. And Wilhelm's like, of course, my boy, always good talking to you. Yes, and I'm sure I will meet you all shortly.
You have a lovely house. Thank you for having us.
Ah, yes. Well, thank you for attending. It's always a pleasure to meet the girl's friends. It's, yes. Well, I'll be fresh in my drink. And he says, and kind of pushes past you all. And Enzo runs over and, like, grabs your hands, Tony, quietly. He's doing it. He's like, it's good to see you again, cousin. He whispers. My father kept me up on everything. And as you look at him, it's been a while since you've seen him, but he's got, like, bags under his eyes, and his skin is, you know, the sallow of someone who just has not slept in, it looks like, days, honestly. His eyes are a little bit bloodshot, but he's, you know, seems cheerful as he runs over to you, and it's like, it's so good to have family here. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to really tell more people, but I don't know, this all happened so fast, and you know, it just seemed like the perfect time. Rain is so great about just really, I don't know, like, why stop to, you know, start living our lives?
Tony, like, you can see her eyes start to water and turn red, and she has not done this before. She is squeezing Enzo's hands, like, it's so good to see you, and I'm so sorry it's been so long since we've been in contact. I just found out about everything you've been through the past year. Losing Mina, I had no idea. I'm so sorry.
I mean, that's all. It's been a really weird time, but honestly, like, when I think about it, if I hadn't lost Mina, I wouldn't have met Reyna, and I don't know who it is, you know, the mother, the father, other gods, but I'm glad it all led to this. And I'm so glad you're here. I'm sorry, who are your friends? I'm so rude. Hi, I'm Enzo, Silvertail.
Lou, nice to meet you.
Lou, hey. Welcome.
And I'm Aoife.
Aoife, so nice to meet you.
So,
Tony, and he like kind of squeezes your hand again. He was like, hey!
So yeah, well, I'm glad your dad filled you in. Basically, I mean, what have you been experiencing? I have to say, I have to agree with the constable. It does sound fae influenced. I have had my own experience with dreams brought on by the fae, and I just want to help you.
Well, here, and he, yeah, indicates, you know, armchair is for you all, and, you know, ask someone to go get everybody drinks if they want them, so you can get cocktails. He'll get a refill, you know, big fat refill of some kind of brown, very alcoholic something, you know, on his table, that comes back by him. You also notice, too, Tony, like, God, he looks so comfortable, you know, in this, like, leather chair, and his sort of this nice suit he's, like, come into. He looks such a part of this world, you know? As he kind of settles into this chair and says, folks keep asking me about what's going on, and I know I look like hell and I haven't been sleeping, but I don't know. Things seem fine, I guess, the minute I wake up. I think it's just nerves but I can't deny, I mean, things around here, everyone else at least, I think it's affecting Reyna more than it is me. Anything. She's just worried. Everybody's stressed, and this should be such a happy thing, and there just feels like this weight, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to help. And
was it her idea for you all to get married so soon, or was it?
I mean, no, everyone's so worried about that. No, it was both of us. You know, Tony, we haven't caught up in a long time, but I've been really drifting away from my dad and all of this. And, you know, Reyna and I we met at school in Phelan, and I didn't even know she was related to Mina until all of this. And honestly, I knew the family, but Mina was an arranged marriage, and I never really got to know her the same way I got to know Reyna. And just, we've been dating for a while, and it all just kind of came into place, you know? And it just seemed like the perfect time, and
that makes a lot more sense than of the gossipy crossbow wooden picture that's been painted.
I know, Well, you know how parents are. It's easier to pretend, right? And then, of course, I know how it looks with Mina and everything, but I mean, that is how I knew the family. That's sort of the connection, I guess, Reyna and I even met over. And my dad is really torn up about it, you know, when Mina died, and I just didn't want to disappoint him again. So this is just sort of our decision to make this happen. And now all of this, and he waves a hand to the house and the outside, and it's just all gotten out of hand. And
while he's talking and describing, Aoife would definitely like to do an insight check on him.
For sure. Go ahead.
That is a 15.
Okay. You can tell he seems really genuine about what he's saying. It's not that he's, like, lying to you. The only thing you think is flagged is, like, maybe at the beginning when he was talking about, like, you know, it's not that bad for me. I'm more worried about everyone else. Like, I don't really know what's going on. It seems like he's probably experiencing a little bit more distress than he's letting on. But you can tell he's trying to be really brave about it. And also, this dude is exhausted. Like, this isn't like anxiety jitters. This is like something some medical issue. Like, he's not getting enough sleep. Like, he does not look great. But he seems very genuine when he's talking about, you know, like, claiming their lives and meeting Reyna. And you can tell he feels like it's that guilt, but at the same time, that just overwhelming, like, he feels they're so meant to be together that it's like, it's just got to be what it is. And there's that, you can tell also with that insight check, there's a little bit of Tony in him too. It's like, you know, where your heart goes. It's that same kind of way. You can see that in Tony. It's like, here's what it is.
So with the sleeping issues you've had, do you happen to remember any of the dreams? Or is it just you wake up suddenly and you know that it was a bad one, you know, one of those?
Have you found any glass marbles around your room?
Marbles? No, what a odd question. No, no marbles or anything. And, you know, the family, they've ran his family. They've been really helpful. They have, physicians and stuff. And so I've been taking some stuff to help me sleep. So honestly, I don't remember much, but I don't know. It's like I wake up and I can't breathe. I felt something cold. It's like something heavy was sitting on my chest, and then I'd wake up. So, but you know, the sleeping stuff, it's been easier, I guess.
I mean, do you remember anything from before you started taking medication for it and self-medicating? She points to the drink.
He's like, I am getting married in 3 days. Give me a break. No, I mean, that's what I would remember from those days. No, now it's less. I would wake up and I was so afraid, but I didn't know why. And I think it was that. It was just not being able to breathe. Which is, and honestly, I look like hell when I wake up, you know, but I'm in my own bed and I don't know. I've never really been big on dreaming before. This is.
Would you, I mean...
One of the doctors said something like night terrors or something, and I don't know.
Would you feel comfortable while we do our investigation if, you know, we maybe watched over you? I know it's weird, but if you're feeling physical discomforts, like, we better be safe than sorry.
I mean, if that's something that's going to help you, you know, put an end to all this, or just... Honestly, I just want this wedding to happen, you know? Whatever you need.
I get it. You know, I want this to happen for you too. I think that waiting for that kind of thing is just stupid, but we'll do everything we can, obviously. I mean, you're part of Tony's family, everything aside. We'll do whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah, if you want to be in the room, I hope it helps. I'm more than fine with that, whatever you need.
I think what would help us too is if you avoided the medication for a night or two so that when we do observe you, we can get whatever full impact of what's happening and you can have a full memory.
Yeah, okay. And he kind of puts down the drink he had to his lips too and he's like, yeah, pushes it away, you know, on the table as well.
I mean, for what it's worth, you keep saying you look like hell, but I think you look really happy, so...
So weird, you know, I feel happy and then I look around and all of this and I just feel like I shouldn't be.
No, fuck that, Enzo. You should be. You should be. You can't blame your dad and the rest of the family for being a little skeptical. I mean, you guys haven't been in touch. It's sad it happens, but I can tell you're excited to start your new life with your wife. And that makes me happy. I'm happy for you.
Well, hopefully when all of this is done, we can actually do something fun somewhere out, go riding again or something. I've been in the city too long, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. You have to introduce your new wife to the country life anyway.
Yes, Reyna. I'm sure that's part of it too. We, you know, well, it's this stupid Aladrin custom, you know, we're not supposed to see each other a few days before the wedding, so it's been even worse not being able to see her and kind of check in, but, you know, except in front of these big family things, so. Anyway, I think she's with her mom, other side girl's wing, sort of thing. So you should see her. And I mean, Tony, I'm sure she'd love to meet you. And honestly, if she's feeling as weird as I do, it would probably be nice to have some reassurance from you. Yeah, Reyna's very independent and capable. So I'm sure she'd appreciate some of that. That same flavor, being surrounded by all these, all this. It's a lot.
As it is difficult not being able to say you're right to be amidst all this chaos and stress, Aoife will rip out a piece of paper from one of her notebooks and slide it on the table across from her with the pen and say, we're planning to go see her to get, you know, hear from her about everything. As you say, she's been much more stressed about all these things too. If you want to write her a little note that we can pass off to her, let her know that you're thinking of her. I'm sure she'd appreciate it.
I won't get anyone in trouble. She knows how I feel. He kind of smiles to himself. Anyway, I should probably actually call back in Wilhelm before he gets suspicious. He's, again, not a lot of socialization on that guy. He works as a judge in Phelan, so this is sort of like his one holiday. I can't wait to get him out to see the family and get him on a horse. He looks at you, Tony, and is just like, oh, what am I doing?
It does surprise me that you do, you know, you do seem so at home here and that you've really ingratiated yourself with these people and this family. And I guess it kind of surprises me that the two of you are going to go back to your family who you've said yourself that, you know, you've grown distance from.
Well, when Rand and I met, we kind of had a, he sort of smiles, I guess a deal, sort of. You know, I learned a lot about her world and became a part of it. And oh, it's time for her to learn about mine. Well, that's sort of the fun of it all.
Very admirable. Certainly.
I think we'll probably end up back in this one. But I mean, maybe we can build something new in between. Who knows?
Sure. Well, we'll have to come meet again under different circumstances after you all have gotten settled in your new merry wed life. And, you know, we've been dying to meet Tony's family too, so we'll make an event out of it.
Yes. Perhaps then we can have a real party instead of all this very formal. I'm sure Tony will tell you, nothing quite like drinking under the stars.
Well, we'll let you get back to help, Wilhelm. We'll get out of your way.
My duty. Gives you a salute. He heads off. He's like, Wilhelm, where'd you go? Sort of claps him on the back in the other room and sweeps up his father as well in a conversation. So that's them. Where do you all want to head next?
We want to meet this lady.
This lady. Pretty lady. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so you can exit this way and you get, you know, casual directions towards where Reyna is. And yeah, you enter a very similar kind of lounge parlor just on the other side of the house. This one is a little bit more tastefully decorated. Last one was very like stag heads and like, ooh, like red velvet smoking couches and stuff. And this is a little more posh. Nice fresh flowers and such, velvet fainting couches and whatever. As you head in.
You know, for all that fainting that women do.
Yes. Everyone expects women to faint. There's just a circle of fainting couches centered around. And a bunch of women are just sitting there. They're all sitting on them casually, you know, drinking from this giant fucking goblet, like glass pitcher thing of wine in the center of the table. And you step inside and a couple of them, yeah, like rosy cheeked, looking up at you as you come in. And you very quickly clock that most of the women in this room are, like, in the, like, the maids and the house staff uniform, just all kind of hanging out in this space, and one of them towards, you know, the front of the room is the only one in, like, the nice dinner attire, looks like kind of the lady of the house, and she's got sort of a powder pale green hair look, like, that you immediately set off. You're like, okay, these two, the two Eldrin you've met so far. She looks over at you and she's like, "Ah, you all, are you the friends, right? Sten's friends. Yes, and Enzo. Yes. Come in. Do you need us to freshen your beverages? She kind of giggles, and some of the other women in the room were like, rosy cheek, wine drunk.
Aoife's looking at like a still full cocktail glass.
Well, whenever you need one, that's all fine here. Please sit. Are you enjoying the festival? I'm sure it's much more fun out there than it is in here. Oh God, did I introduce myself? I'm Ariadne. This is my summer house. It's a pleasure to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you for having us. I mean, it's beautiful. You have such a beautiful summer home. Like, the fact that it's your summer home, I mean...
We've paid a lot of very talented people to make it look beautiful, so they thank you. Anyhow, is there anything I can help you with?
Oh, yeah, we were taking a look around, trying to suss out exactly what's going on here. Are you okay to speak here, or did you want to go into a different room?
Oh, no, you can speak here. Ladies, business, she says, and looks around at the rest of, the women in the room, and they sort of, like, nod knowingly, and, you know, they pick up one of the pitchers and head out, and she's like, we need to get up early in the morning. Don't be too... that'll be fine. Sit down.
Thank you.
If there's one thing you learn how to do in Eldrin society, it's to put on a brave face in the morning.
I've heard.
Anyhow. Yes, what can I do for you? Yes, questions?
It seems there have been quite a few brave faces, considering the mysterious events that have been happening around since the engagement was announced.
What's mysterious about it? It's a young love.
That's mysterious in and of itself, but you are happy to see...
Yes, I mean, hormones flying around.
But you are happy to see this match met, though? They do look so lovely together.
Well, you know, if you had asked me probably a year ago if I would approve of this, I don't know if I would have said yes. But honestly, I mean... Now that Raina's my only daughter, and I don't think, you know, the family line is continuing. I certainly have no more interest in having children or anything else with my husband. Why not be happy? You know, there are plenty of Olianas out there much more qualified to take positions of power than my family. So it is my gift to Enzo and Raina to let them be happy. You know, when Mina died, it all... sort of came into focus. I don't know.
It's certainly not a natural thing to lose a child. I'm sorry for your loss.
No. Certainly nothing I expected in my lifetime. Parents are supposed to outlive their children. Or not. No. The other way. Sorry, could you hand me that? And she, like, points at the pitcher of wine.
Aoife will certainly pour her a glass. If you don't want to get into it, that's certainly all right, but I mean...
No, let's get into it. You're here to investigate.
Drowning seems so unusual for living at a place that's got a built-in lake, for living in a city on the ocean. Did you all suspect or investigate?
Yes. Well, the whole thing was terribly tragic. It's... Mina was out on the lake, and it was a bad summer and storms, and she must have been out there climbing on the rocks, and she must have fallen. When we found her, she had a terrible blow to her head, and she must have slipped, and that's what killed her. Isn't that always the way? A bright girl, beautiful girl, world of possibilities, one little fall. And it's all gone.
She go out there by herself? It seems like there's so many people all over the place over here. I don't know.
Oh, both my girls. I raised them to be their own. Yes, they were very adventurous. Always climbing and swimming. And...
I want to do...
an insight check?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not bad. 19 plus 7, 26.
Well, that's better than mine, so.
Jesus Christ. Okay. You both keyed into this. This woman seems being really fucking honest about this whole thing. And you know what? She's probably the person you've seen who's probably the most on board with this relationship of anyone you've talked to so far. And yeah, she's sauced, though you can tell she's probably playing it up a little bit more than she actually is. You don't know why, maybe to be fun or like, who knows? But she seems to believe with perfect honesty everything she's saying to you. And she is really sad about it. And honestly, she misses her daughter a lot, but she is really happy for her other daughter.
Well, I can only hope for a happy union between the two. But I have to say, it does come to some surprise to hear that at least your judgment of the situation regarding Mina's death is that she slipped and fell, causing her to drown. That's not what we've heard.
I don't know what to tell you, but I was the one who had to identify the body, so... She was out there all the time, out on that little island in the center, this lake, the lilies, the whole fanfare. She would go out there often. There's a little cottage on the top. You know, I know whenever the girls had friends or whatnot, they would go and spend the night out there, get away. I certainly did that in my youth. But there are quite a few rocks around there, and like I said, it was stormy that night, and climbing up there, she must have fallen. Why she was out there on such a godforsaken night, I don't know, but she was always a very stubborn child. So is Reyna. It's part of their charm.
Tell me, does this... Frankly, I mean, you know why we are here. We want to discover if there is any fae involvement, so I have to ask... Are there any debts owed in your family to the Fae? Any favors?
Oh, goodness. No, no. We've been in Faelyn for so long. You have to understand, when you're in this society and you don't have a lot of... No, absolutely not. It would be a scandal. I mean, I can't speak for myself. But I'm pretty sure my husband isn't interested enough to do such a thing. And I doubt my daughter would be. And Enzo looks an awful lot like you, by the way. Don't think I haven't noticed. Seems like a perfectly honest boy. I think he's quite good for my daughter, actually. I think it's probably a better match than he and Mina were ever going to be. And perhaps this is my fault for saying yes to an arranged marriage. And this is the price I have to pay.
Don't want to believe that karma is that harsh.
Mm-hmm. Well, who knows? I haven't been a very kind person in my life, but it's politics.
Well, arranged marriage or not, they were good people who still would have been good to each other, I'm sure. It's not like it was an act of cruelty to agree to such a thing.
No, but they didn't have what clearly Reyna and Enzo have. And perhaps I didn't even know what that looked like until I saw it. I had an arranged marriage. Everyone my mother had an arranged marriage, and that's just sort of the way it's always been.
Here's to change. And Lou will pick up a glass. New traditions.
Yes. Cheers to that. I hope you figure out what's going on.
At the very least, it'll make for a funny story when they celebrate their 10-year and they get to look back at this wild time and laugh.
Yes.
Well, we would love to speak to your daughter, if you could point us in the right direction.
Oh, Reyna was in here earlier, but she's bone tired, all of this. I think the stress, she's already retired for the evening, but please do catch us at breakfast. Poor girl, she's been through hell, and everyone keeps looking at her sideways, accusing her of being pregnant. She's not, I assure you, but if I hear the word shotgun wedding one more time, I think I'm actually going to kill someone.
We would never say anything like that. I would not want to be on the pointy end of a sword with you holding it, that's for certain.
I'm better with a sword than I look. You better believe it.
Okay, well. I mean, how many days do we have left until the wedding?
So this will be officially, so it's going to be on the Festival of Day. So this is one night. So you've got two more nights. And then on the dawn of the next day is the...
Is it like late night time to say goodnight? We can't really chat with any more people.
Yeah, it's getting around 9, 10. So people are probably going to start to retire. Because if dinner went long, and of course, you know, it was long because they're rich. So they had multiple courses. And then they've already had drinks. People are starting to fade very quickly. Like the lady of the house here who seems about ready to go to sleep on this fainting couch.
Okay. Tony's going to crowd y'all and say, okay, I want to stay on the grounds for this night. Just to see if anything passes through. I don't know what I'll find. I'm not expecting anything, but I just want to be close to the family tonight while we wait for the morning to chat with Reyna.
Did you want to stay with Enzo tonight and watch? If you guys don't mind, I can come meet up with you later. I don't need a lot of sleep, so just wanted to go meet with Cassie at the lake.
Oh, please.
But if you need me, find anyone with one of these, and she has like the little earpiece, and scream at it, and I will probably also scream and ruin my date, but I will come.
Just scream at a party planner. Lou, get over here!
Because even if I can't hear you, they're going to talk shit about you in 5 seconds.
True. I would be happy to stay with Enzo tonight. I think I might try something. I've got an idea.
Oh? Is this a secret idea? Or?
I've got a bit of magic that lets me see invisible things. So if there's something sneaking into his room at night, at least for a few hours, I'll be able to detect it.
Just a little thing. I can see invisible things. You magic users are crazy.
I mean, your glasses do the same, you know, also see magic shit. So
but do you know how hard I had to work to make those?
I had to blow some sequins around.
I had to dip these in the blood of a dwarf. No, yeah.
So, yeah, Lou's going to want to do that if you guys are okay by yourselves, and then she'll come meet up with you.
Yes, go have your date.
It's a get to know each other. I wouldn't say date. She didn't say date. She said meet by the lake. So that could be anything. I might get murdered. Who knows?
I very much doubt that, Lou. You're very hard to murder.
She's just a consultant anyway, I mean.
Oh, maybe you should go to that island, maybe find a rowboat, and do some investigating and have a meet cute. Two birds, one stone.
Date and an investigation. Some Scooby-Doo bullshit. Yeah.
You don't think that would be off-putting? I mean, if you don't think so, I mean, I do...
That's what Kel and I did, and look at where we are now.
I feel a little, like, guilty as it is, like, leaving you guys to go do this. But, so I wouldn't mind if you don't think it will be extremely detrimental to anything happening, because I mean, not like happening, just, I want it to go well.
She seems extremely up for adventure.
I got lockpicks and knives and a cold iron dagger. Oh, this is not a date outfit.
Okay, so they're pushing you away. Like, Lou, please go. So Aoife, you are going to go into Enzo's room and watch over him while he sleeps. And then Tony, where are you headed?
I'm just going to be in the property, like the grounds, just to see things coming in and out of the building, anything like that. Just like a guard dog.
So kind of walking around like the perimeter. The house is pretty big. So just sort of walking around the outside.
Yeah.
Okay. So you all, you know, head your separate ways. And Aoife, you know, you link up with Enzo eventually, who he's like, all right, he gets, you know, has you wait in his room. He gets into jammies and brushes his teeth and stuff. He's like, You know, I genuinely can't say I've ever had somebody watch me fall asleep, but you know what? I'm very tired, so...
Oh, you'll forget I'm here.
Do you need anything? like a, I don't know, a robe? Like, I don't know what to offer you.
Robe. She picks up a pillow and she, like, smushes it and fluffs it and throws it behind her and she's like, don't mind me. I'm fine. I've never done this either, if it makes you feel any better, but, you know, strange times.
Yeah, it's sort of like a sleepover.
Yeah.
Just like a, when you're kids, not like a, anyway, okay, I'm gonna go to sleep, I guess. Okay, good night. Like, throws the covers up over his head. You settle in for a long night. Tony, you begin your walkabout. And as you are, you know, the night is definitely winding down. The meadery is still popping for a couple hours, but somewhere around 1 a.m., people start to finally drift back to their tents. A lot of them giggling, a lot of them going in pairs back to, you know, it's hookup city for sure. Don't forget to, Oxia is the time for, it's at the time for lovers and a lucky time to get married and starting new relationships, and people are really feeling that summer heat vibe. And then, yeah, so Lou. So you go in towards the edge of the lake where you were going to meet Cassie?
Yep, she just, on the way, is, like, straightening her hair and redoing it, like, 18 times, and finally is like, fuck it, and just leaves it down all over the place. And she's like, I look less uptight, sure. And she's just, like, talking to herself and takes a deep breath. She's like, shut the fuck up, Lou. Go talk to a woman. Marches down to the lake.
Yeah, you do. And you see, like, sitting you know, on one of the many benches kind of ringing the lakeside. It's absolutely meant for, you know, viewing. And it's a beautiful summer night as well. You know, full moon, stars all over the place. Just freaking gorgeous. And you see, you know, Cassie sitting there on one of these benches. And she seems like, kind of looking up at the sky. And she hears your footsteps and turns around and says, oh, hey.
Hey.
Glad you came.
Hope you weren't waiting too long.
I mean, how could you be mad waiting at all this? This place is gorgeous.
That's true. I actually prefer nighttime. Sometimes, especially in the summer, it's just so fucking bright all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah, the eyesight thing, right? With drow?
Yeah. It's not usually too bad. It's only like really bright blaring light. So it's not too much of a hindrance, but I always liked nighttime better anyway. Feels magical.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think probably most of the best things in my life have happened to me at night.
Oh, maybe another best thing can happen today. Night.
Well, I certainly like that. Do you want to keep sitting or walk around? I don't know. Are you a walking talker or stare serenely at the lake? I mean, I could go either way.
I don't know. I feel weird about asking this, but I am here for a reason. And I was wondering, there was a little cabin of sorts on the island. Maybe we could take a boat trip out there and look around together, get some work done while we get to know each other so I feel less fucking awkward.
Okay, you want to take me to a cabin on a lake at night? All right.
Oh, but I mean, I just, like, whatever we're both comfortable, we'll see.
I mean, I'm good. Do you have a boat? I guess we can probably find one.
Oh, there's
around here, right?
Lou just, like, looks around with her, like, crazy laser drow vision in the night to see if she can find one.
Yeah, there are a couple, you know, like, those little, like, locked up boat houses, you know, where that looks like they probably have, like, paddle boats. Like, that's what you would need. Like, one of those things you would sit in two people to, like, go across the lake.
It's a swan.
Yeah, this is like a lake that would be in a major park. So like Golden Gate Park in San Francisco or, you know, Central Park, like in New York. Like that's about the size of it. So it's a very cute
yeah.
paddle boat lake.
Yeah.
Lil will be like, not that efficient, but I see some paddle boats over there. If that works for you transportation-wise.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Great. She's like, so can I ask? I don't know. Again, I don't know. Just let me know if this is like a me being too curious or insulting. I'm sure I probably almost insulted your friend earlier when I asked if she was from the wilds, and she's satyr, but I honestly have not met a lot of drow in the Empire, and I was just wondering, did you grow up in the Empire, or?
No, I grew up for like, not to tell my age, but literally to tell my age, I grew up till I was about 40 in the Underdark, and then, or the Underworld, and then eventually, you know, it wasn't the best growing up, but I found my found family and came up to the surface and been here a little over 50 years. And I mean, oh my God, the food.
She's like, whew, okay, we're about the same age then. I'm always a little worried. That's always so awkward when you're like, yeah, oh, no. I'm sort of immortal.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's definitely a conversation to have when.
Yeah. And I have literally no idea how long I'm going to live. I think I'm the only half-eldrin I've ever met. So
yeah.
Who knows? It's kind of like roulette.
Well, you know, I mean, you're making it work for you. I think you are like, you're so pretty. what was growing up like with that?
Yeah, and she's smiling at everything you're saying and kind of, you know, nodding her head along, like, and just sort of letting you. She's not like looking at you. There's no judgment coming from her. And she's like, well, it was pretty weird. You know, two cultures really different from each other. But I don't know. My parents did their best to make it work. But I never really fit in anywhere. I guess that's why. Or I kind of fit in everywhere at the same time. Right? Pick up a little bit of everything and I don't know, I just eventually just started going wherever my heart took me.
I'm sure books were a great escape, too, you know?
Oh, yeah, what I love about books, it's not so much the escape, but just the, I guess, an excuse, right? To go everywhere and learn about everyone, right? It's amazing how many places you can get into. If you just say, hey, man, I'm just here to, like, learn about you. It's opened so many doors.
I can't imagine just speaking to anybody like that and having something come out of it. Like, that's really incredible. Here, after you. And she'll, like, take her hand and, like, help her to the paddle boat.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thanks. She gets down. She's like, I don't think I've steered one of these since I was a kid. Is that? She's like going back and forth on the pedal. She's like, is it that way? Do we do it at the same time? Or is it opposite ways?
Oh, we'll go at the same time. It's going to be a lot better. There's a few of these back in Chassiano where my family is, so.
Oh, from Chassiano. I love it there. Some of the best galleries. Libraries, all of that. Wow.
It was hard to leave, but I mean, I wouldn't be here, and this place is gorgeous, so.
Yeah. Paddle out and finally get rhythm and sort of make it like halfway kind of out the lake, like heading towards this island in the center. I think there's probably like a minute of silence, and she says, so, I don't want to, again, sort of rush into anything here, but I do get a really good feeling about you and us and stuff, and I just kind of want to ask. This big love you had, right, and lost, and I know, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to know about it. Your friend Aoife is really forthcoming and stuff, and I feel bad that she told me so much, so I'm just going to level with you and said, you know, that happened, and I know that. And was this something like, like a major personality flaw that I should avoid or some kind of like a, you know, I mean, it's a whole thing. You see someone and then like 10 years, that's a lot to live up to. Like, I don't know. Is that?
Fuck. Okay. We're going to talk about this on first date. I mean, if this
Sorry, I no. really, like, I know this is so not where I would have started this, but it got brought up, so it's clearly something big, I guess.
I mean, I'm not gonna beat around the bush, you know, I don't really, as someone who's not exclusively dating elves or anything like that, you know, I kind of don't believe in one true love. Because who knows? I don't want to live my life alone, but she was really special. And I thought that we were going to have a lot longer together. And that's not how it worked out. But I mean, everybody who met her just loved her. It wasn't just me. She saw the best in every person. She was able to listen to me go on and on and on and get in my own head. And understand what I was trying to say easily. And if she didn't, for one time, she would just sit back and let me explain. And I really have struggled since losing her to show people what I want to show them. Sorry. But you're talking to me, so, I mean, it's not... It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, comparing my partners for the rest of my life about it. I don't want you to think that. I just, you know, I'm never not going to say she wasn't special to me and not talk about her. But I'm not going to be comparing anybody if that's like what makes you nervous.
No. Thank you for telling me. I know what that's like. Well, probably not exactly like that, but, you know, when you have people close to you and, I guess, ghosts around you, I know what that's like to have to live with a ghost. And I'm really glad you had that kind of love in your life. It makes us stronger, you know, for having it. And
yeah, she definitely... made me better. And I know there are lots of people that I've had in my life who've done that for me, and I hope that I find a lot more. So I think that, I don't know, it's really weird to me that you're not jumping off the side of this boat. I don't even actually like boats, to be honest with you. I'm just trying to act really confident.
I don't either, but I'm leaning into it. And she like taps you on the knee. She's like, listen, I have a feeling you are going to meet a lot of people in your life who love you. You just have that way about you. She, you know.
Thanks.
Smiles at you.
I hope I can get to know you more. And, you know, I'm not gonna pressure you about your own ghosts.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, you were so honest with me. I should probably... All right, I'm just going to lay all my cards out on the table right here, I guess. So, you know, being a researcher is one part of what I am. And then, what is that? She says and kind of looks off across the water. And you see something, it looks like a figure? Is it like on the edge of the island? Sort of like laying prone in like the sandy beach. Sort of like a lump of like white. There. Do you see that?
She kind of squints and she's like, yeah. Or let's paddle.
Yeah, and you like start kind of paddling harder. And around this time, I think Aoife too, you've been definitely like, it's been hours. How are you like kind of drifting off? Nothing has happened. Enzo has been... sleeping, an occasional snore of just the exhausted.
Since he does seem to be like asleep, she'll take the time to look around his room and to look for any of those little clear glass marbles that she's seen in the past, because maybe it was a little dream dragons who paid him a visit, or, you know, And so, and very faithfully, every hour she casts see invisibility, just so if anything creeps through, you know, through the doors, through the windows, through anything, she'll catch it. But she's definitely like pinching her cheeks and giving them a little slap, and
yeah, like, oh my god, yeah, and like, oh, you keep like doing this and like waking up and whatever, and like, yes, the spell, and you're like, oh man, and the hours just tick, tick, tick by, and you're like, god, nothing is going on. Like, and Tony, it's been mostly the same for you too, just patrolling around. It's like after everybody goes to sleep, it's, you know, around 2, and probably for all of you, about around like, you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Tony, why don't you go ahead and make me a perception check? Just while you're outside. See what side of the house you're on if you hear this.
11.
11. Okay, then you do not hear this, but Aoife, a scream, like a shrieking, shrill scream comes from just down the hall. Like not in Enzo's room. It sounds like down the hallway, like towards one of the other bedrooms. A woman just bloody murder screaming. And then she starts going, help, help, somebody, oh my god, screaming down the hall.
Aoife books it.
Yeah, so you go and you see Enzo's like, kind of like wakes up and is like, what's going on from sleep.
She'll, before she runs out, she'll yell at Enzo, even though he's like snorting himself awake. She'll be like, stay here, lock the door, make sure the windows stay closed, I'll handle it.
Okay, okay, and you're like, yeah, he's struggling, he's like, where are my shoes? Just trying to figure out what's going on, and you burst out of the bedroom hall, and you can see, like, down the hall, where this is, like, a row of bedrooms, you know, one of these long hallways, towards a door, like, 3 or 4 down from where you are, there appears to be, like, a chambermaid. She's out there, she's holding, like, linens and stuff, or she was, that are now crumpled on the ground, and you can see the door to the room is open, and water is just gushing out, like pouring, seeping over her feet and like dripping over, you know, the banister that leads down to the other floor. And she looks at you. She's like, he's, help him, she says, and looks at you and is waving to something inside the room.
She'll go inside.
So as you pass through the door, you see Tony's uncle, Lori, he is, like, on his bed, and you see there's, like, water that is dripping down across it. Like a bunch of water was just dropped down. You can't see the source. It's not really coming from anywhere, but it's moving across, like, the bed and the floor and seeping out into the hallway here. And he is, like, convulsing on the bed here, and he seems to be, like, choking. And you can see, like, water is coming out of his mouth. It's almost like he's drowning. Like, and he's, like, clutching at his throat, like he can't breathe.
Now, Aoife will immediately run, and she'll go to the chambermaid, and she'll be like, there's a half-orc woman outside named Tony. Go get her immediately. She's patrolling the house.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I'll do what I can.
Okay, and she goes, and she books it, and people are starting to wake up across the house, yeah, now, and it's not long, Tony, you know, you have somebody's, like, you hear somebody screaming for you from outside, and, but Aoife, yeah, what are you doing, like, right away, this guy is, he is not going to live very long.
Immediately, she'll take the sheets, and she'll use them in order to try and, like, drag him out of the bed and out of the water, and will... Is there a place where the water is not as high, where if she were to put him up on his side?
Yeah, so the water isn't high anywhere. It's like only a couple inches or so of water, but as you like kind of turn him on his side, you can tell he's expelling water. It's like he's not submerged in water. It's like water is generated like inside his lungs, and you can't tell. It's like he's dry drowning, but he's coughing up water as if he had it all around him. And he's looking at you, his eyes are open, he's fully awake of this, he's fucking terrified looking at you, and he can't talk because the water is, like, spewing out of his mouth.
Man, yeah, knowing what little she can do, she'll put him on the side, she's, like, patting him on his back to help him cough it up, get it out of his lungs, and then while she's doing that, she'll cast a lesser restoration on him, hoping that maybe it'll do something.
Yeah. So as you, like, kind of flip him so he's not, like, on his back anymore, you can see, like, more of the water is absolutely, like, coming out of him, and he's coughing and choking as, like, this water is, like, moving onto the floor, and it just keeps on coming. And like when it finally like slows down to a trickle, you know, you reach out with that magic and you can feel like it looks like he was about to probably lose consciousness, but you can restore him to like some kind of semblance of normalcy. Is, you know, his burning lungs, he's coughing out everything he has. And then Tony, that's probably about the time you would get there, like as you see your uncle like soaking wet as if he's been dripped in water on his side, and Aoife is like slamming his back.
Then she'll lay him back on his back, and then she wants to like open up his mouth and see if there's like anything in it.
Yeah, and he's so in shock. He opens, there's nothing. And Tony, like as you're running into the room too, you can see the water drying up like beneath your feet, almost like it's under intense heat suddenly, and it's all disappearing, kind of rising up into this almost silvery mist on the floor before it evaporates. And there doesn't seem to be much of anything. But yeah, Tony, you step into the room, you're seeing this water evaporate, and you're like, uncle laying on the bed. What are you doing?
He's conscious and spitting up water.
Yeah. So it looks like now that Aoife has like gotten the bulk of the water out, so he's like out of danger, right? As these last things are like dribbling, and he's just like, what's going on? Is he soaking wet? And Aoife seems to have like stabilized him, and the water's stopping now.
I don't know. I don't know what this is. Are you okay? Do you remember anything? Were you dreaming?
And he's like rasping, because all of his air, everything in his body was heaving. He's like, I don't. And you see his eyes kind of gaze up and like across, you know, from the four-poster bed that he's in to the far wall. And he goes so pale, so, so pale, as he looks at two words that are written there on that wall, like scratched in. You can both follow his gaze. And it says, see me.
With my see invisibility on, do I see anything? I can see into the ephemeral plane.
You don't see anything with your magic sense. But as the water evaporates, and even your uncle, like, he's still damp, but nothing around him is. It's like the water just vanished. And just that message remains. See me. Written on that wall. And Lou and Cassie, as you were getting closer and closer to this island, you can see it now. Like, as you are approaching, there is a girl just laying out there in, like, a crumpled white nightgown. Just clinging to her like she swam here, if you had to guess. And she looks pale, and you're not sure if she's dead or if she's sleeping or what, but she looks an awful lot like that woman with her pale green, you know, powder hair, that Eldrin woman you just met before. And you think that might be Reyna. And that's where we're gonna end the episode for today! It's a mystery.
My family.
Shit, you family messed up and some stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah, you Unky almost died. Luckily, Aoife's there with lesser restoration, though.
Oh no, this is why I always make my family in D&D a mystery and sad and disappeared, because family shit hurts me.
I solemnly swear I will never ever hurt your like first line of family, all of you. So no fathers, no mothers, no immediate siblings or found family or otherwise, but your second branch of families and more is all mine. So
we were like, here's our family on a silver platter. Thank you.
That's
Celeste.
The deal.
No.
I would never hurt your dads or your moms or your siblings, but boy.
Oh.
It's okay. Aoife saved him. It's fine.
Thank you, Aoife.
Just doing what we can.
Holy shit. But anyway, Thank you all so much for joining us for another episode of Venture Maidens. If you like what we do, please do like, subscribe. If you're watching this on a video platform, hit that button. It really makes a difference. And if you toss us a couple bucks by subscribing on Twitch or YouTube, all the better. That's awesome. You guys are our one and only source of income. So anything you can do to support the show, super appreciated. If you're listening, please do like, review, subscribe, give us some stars, particularly on Spotify, where we're kind of a newer show uploaded there. So we really need some reviews to get us up to the level, or just even stars. You don't even have to review to get us up to the level of iTunes reviews and ratings we have. So please, please do consider doing that. If you really like what we do, you can check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/venturemaidens. Head on over there and you can donate at an annual level for the year or monthly. As low as $1 gets you access to so much cool stuff, like hundreds of hours of bonus content. We recently did a special Halloween bonus episode that is only going to be in podcast form on our Patreon, as opposed to our main feed. So that's a cool thing you can do. Learn a little bit about a very favorite pumpkin spirit and such by heading over to patreon.com and just throwing us a couple bucks. Beyond that, did we have news?
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully if you've been paying attention, you know that there have been protests in Iran for over a month now, and they have progressed to a revolution, the first feminist revolution in history. It is groundbreaking. It's unbelievable to happen in Iran, of all places. And they are asking for basically a new system. They're done with the regime, and they have been out day and night, every day for over a month, protesting and demonstrating for a new government. And you can follow activists in Iran, Iranian creators, artists, celebrities. Like, we've been posting about it. I've been posting. Follow me. Like, I'm posting about it nonstop if you want updates. But there's a lot you can do to support. And it's even as what seems trivial in past movements as social media reposting and retweeting, all those kinds of things. It's actually a good thing in this movement. If you can repost, retweet, share the things you hear about Iran and the protesters on the ground, that's a big help. And there's a website that I believe will be posted in the chat right now. I did not mention it last time. Let me say the words out loud this time. It's nufdiran.org. There will be a link in chat right now that will lead you to a script you can copy and paste, send to your representatives, and it will also help you identify, locate the email address, numbers of your representatives, because remember, they work for you. This is not political. This is a demand for basic human rights in Iran. And you can copy and paste this script, send it to your representatives, ask them to support those voices and their demands so that their sacrifices aren't in vain. They have been fighting day and night for change, for basic human rights. And you can help. Both retweeting, resharing all those things, contact your representatives. That's what we want. And believe me, we are paying attention. We are seeing the people who are participating.
Yes. And then also, if you are listening in the podcast audience, that link will be in the show notes. So if you go just look at this episode in whatever podcast app you're on, look down there. The link is right there. So you can figure out what to do. If you are not in the US and you're listening or watching, please share the link with folks that you know in the US. Please get the word out. It is the best way to make change. Great. So thank you. Thank you. And of course, we always want to take some time at the end of each episode to say thank you to those folks who do donate to us on Patreon at the highest donor tiers. You folks are awesome. You keep the lights on. You're fucking rock stars. So let's go ahead and take some time to say thank you. Thank you so much, Cody Becker at CodyRolls4 on Twitter.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Curry.
Thank you, Muffin at the one on Drury Lane.
Thank you so much, Nissa McKinnon.
And for our Farrah's Drinking Mates tier, thank you, Chris.
Markali, thank you.
Thank you, Fable.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Thank you, Sheepish Gnome.
And Ben, thank you, also known as Flower Crown Gaming.
All right, that's it. That's all we have for you folks, so thanks so much. I've been your dungeon master, Celeste Conowich.
Hello, I'm Katie, and I've been playing Laveri Sath, your drow rogue.
Salam, I am Nassim. I have been playing your half-orc fighter, Tony Silvertail.
And I am your life raft, Eva Flannery, played by Sage.
Your first aid bard.
First aid bard.
saver of family, love, and life. Yes. Thank you all so much for joining us. I can't wait to see what happens next time in 2 weeks. But until then, everybody.
Venture away!